Now, I know we're speaking with Adam Terwilliger today, and Adam, he's been on the show 100 times. It's been a while, though, since we've had him on. But what I can't remember, and well, this is fine because my great friend Karen Butcher gets me hooked up here. I can't remember anybody's titles. So I know he's the finance guy. But his official title is the Director of Finance and Logistics. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Adam Terwilliger. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, happy post-Thanksgiving. How are you?
Doing well, Mike. How you doing? Thanks for having me on today.
I'm a little sweaty, as I told you in the break there. A little full of pie. The jeans don't fit nearly as well as they did before Thanksgiving, so I guess that was a good time had by all. How did you do? Did you enjoy a few days off?
Absolutely. Got to spend time with some friends and family I haven't seen for some time. Traveled around Indiana a little bit. We're a little bit far apart as a family, but as you said, full of pie, full of food, full of good times with those you love.
And now I'm full of DayQuil and other decongestants that go along with everything that happens there. All right, big news in your world, obviously. November is not over yet, but when we rewind, let's see, today is Tuesday. So we'll go back three Tuesdays. Referendum passes. It passes. That's all that matters. If it's by 20 million votes or one vote, it passed. How big of an influence on the rest of your planning for this year and next did that referendum have?
Well, it's huge, and we're just, I'd be remiss if I just didn't say we're so thankful for those that, you know, voted yes and all that came out to vote, of course, but it's huge for this community moving forward. Family center community focus was what we ran this referendum on, and what it means is just so much for all of our families going a step towards truly free public education for our community. This attack was on free and subsidized 3- and 4-year-old care, but also free classroom supplies, any other materials, testing fees, career technical education fees, really making it so you don't have to pay for the kinds of things that you would traditionally have to pay for. If you just think about field trips, you know, when this passed, we put out an announcement about all of these things, of course, but, you know, we said, you know, just think of the things you don't have to pay for this year, like Bradford Woods, which is a beloved trip in this community, and you wouldn't believe the outpouring that we received. It's like, wow, I didn't realize this referendum went for that, but that is the realization and that rubber meeting the road of what occurred with this cycle. So we're super excited for that this year, and the planning just begins next year. We know that we have next year 4-year-old care to take care of. We're planning for what that looks like in the spring, and we're just busy focusing on how to get that enrollment, how to focus on getting those students serviced, and those truly underserviced students in the community that would not be able to be served through other traditional methods. So, again, just getting towards steps for truly free public education, and we're excited here.
And the logistics that go behind that, I'm guessing, falls into your lap as well. How much rearranging is going to have to be done, whether it's partnerships in the local pre-K community, is transportation? Boy, I bet that I don't think it keeps you up at night, but it's a very busy time.
It is very busy, and we're planning on all contingencies, of course. So first you have to take a look at all of our elementary centers around the corporation and what it might mean if classrooms were to open up there, and then, of course, gauging demand. You know, we have an estimate demand based off census populations and data otherwise presented to us through the normal channels, but what is that actual demand? And then flushing that out, building in contingencies based upon how that shakes out, and leveraging the additional dollars that we've received to make these things happen. You know, that 8.5 cents is going to bring in approximately $8.5 or plus more million a year that otherwise would not have been had towards aforementioned 4-year-old, 3-year-old care, towards those free supplies, materials, CTE fees, and textbook and curriculum materials, which are funded by the state but are underfunded, only at a level of $151 per student, which are not the levels that support the actual amounts that go in towards funding those types of materials. So it's a lot of logistics, as you said. It's a lot of figuring out what goes into that care for the next year. But we have a lot of people here that are busy at work getting that planned ahead of the spring semester, and you'll start to see more coming out in the spring semester.
Adam Terwilliger is our guest. He's the Director of Finance and Logistics for the MCCSC. It's Giving Tuesday today. How important is that for the community corporation schools? I saw you've got your foundation of Monroe County Community Schools. They're doing their online auction. How much support does that bring to you as well?
Oh, it's amazing, you know, and actually Cirilla, who's amazing at the foundation, she's probably been on sometimes or you've talked with her.
Cirilla Helm, that's right.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. And so, you know, it just means even more. I mean, like, if you think about what the foundation's been able to do for the MCCSC over the years where we've been light and underfunded with state funds and just towards the normal backpack supplies and materials and supplies for students, and now that we are going to have more of that funded by these public referendum dollars, just think about what much more the foundation can do and will be charged to do and do so much more and even be more of an add-on to what has already been provided. And so it means the world to us, and the foundation absolutely means the world to us. And if you think about the Giving Tuesday program, not just for us, but for teachers, for the community, for students, for families, it truly is an outstanding thing.
Yeah, if you go to mccsc.edu, you'll be able to find it just like I did. 240 items are up for the next 7 days and counting, and all sorts of different categories where you can pick, and that money stays right here and goes to all of our schools, which makes it makes our community a much, much better place. All right, now that we're done with Thanksgiving, what's on your agenda for the rest of the calendar 2023? Because we're going to turn to December on Friday, and then we're all going to have a little Christmas break right around the corner.
Well, thank you. Mike, I'd be remiss if I didn't say we actually have a meeting tonight for salary increases to be reviewed and hopefully accepted by our board. So we finished our round of bargaining that goes on during the fall, and we are very pleased to announce we're going to be raising teacher salaries, or we'll be, of course, officially voting on raising teacher salaries at a level that is really unprecedented. So our minimum starting salary right now is $50,000, and our maximum is $85,000. This collective bargaining agreement, which will be a two-year agreement for our teachers and our certified staff otherwise covered by the CBA, that'll be raising minimum salaries this next year to $52,150, and in the next year, 24-25, up to $57,750. Within 2 years, we will have gone from a minimum of $50,000 to a minimum of $57,750, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say the state average is about $58,000. So we're working on getting this place to be a place where, staff wants to come and attract and retain quality staff for our students and for our community. And so we're very, very excited to get that on the board. In addition, our hourly staff will be recommending increases of a dollar and a quarter per hour in the first year of the agreement, and then a dollar per hour in the second year. That's the equivalency of the same minimum raise that will be going towards our teachers in that same period. So that's first and foremost on our mind right now, is just really kind of touting that those salary increases will be going into effect, and also celebrating the fact that we are a referendum community and these increases would not have been afforded otherwise, certainly with some state tuition support monies, of course, but by our referendum and by the power of that referenda, we're able to make this place an attractive place for people to come and work.
And explain to people why we can't hit the state average, even though we're putting all this extra money into it, because that's interesting as well, because we always want to say it's equal for everybody, but it's just not.
Mike, I may have been excitedly speaking there. That minimum state average, by the way, is a state. That's the middle, right, of where the state is at currently. What I'm stating is our minimum.
Oh, minimum.
Gotcha. We'll be at 1,000 away from the state average. In fact, our average salary in 24-25 is going to be $69,000.
Yeah, I didn't think that was right. That's why I was like, wait a second. I had to. Well, I can't hear anything because I'm full of cough medicine and everything else. That's excellent. That is a selling point. How has retention been? How has filling these gaps, if there are any gaps, as you move through the school year?
Well, it's been outstanding. We've had so much demand for our positions as they open up, and it's across all sectors, not just our certified staff, but our non-certified staff. We're not seeing the same openings that we've seen with frequency prior to the salary increases as afforded by our 22 referendum. And in fact, one of the areas that logistics is sort of in my purview is transportation. And if you recall, a few years back, we were down to a record low number of drivers, but just in an 18-month time span, that's turned around to we are completely right-sized at this point. We're always looking for more, but we have exactly, if not a little bit more drivers than what we have need for with routes, and none of that would have happened without that last referendum, and we're certainly seeing that across the board. So it is something that's truly a blessing for us.
Well, logistics, there you go. That was what I just wrote down right before I was going to ask you about how everything is on that side of it. Now, I know the temperatures changed, and today and yesterday, not much fun when we got going when the sun came up, temperatures in the teens and wind chills in the single digits. I don't want to talk about what the planning is for down the road, but we got to talk about what the planning is for down the road. How much does education in the e-world help out if we do have inclement weather throughout the winter months?
Oh, yeah, that's always something that's on our minds, of course, and we have to prepare
for
that.
I hate to bring it up because people think it's they think I'm jinxing it. I'm not. We just have to talk about it.
Well, it's not like it used to be. You know, when I was in high school, you know, you always look for that scroll bar at the bottom, and it's like, are you out of school? There's so many more means of communication we can get that out on these days. But we do have a great app called Parent Square that we're using this year. That, of course, if inclement weather were to come, we're gonna, it's like push notifications to your phone. Everyone will know within an instant. But you know, these days it's not like it used to be. It's not like a snow day when you and I were growing up and you sit outside or not outside, inside, and watch the outside weather come down, and you know, you're just off for the day. It's not that way anymore, of course, and we review that and are very serious and understand if the inclement weather was to come, when we would need to possibly close down our schools. But that would be considered an e-learning day. That would be, you know, the curriculum is delivered in a virtual means.
Safety first, safety first, safety first. You don't want to put those bus drivers or anybody on those buses in any precarious positions when Mother Nature just doesn't want to cooperate. Adam Terwilliger is our guest. He is the Director of Finance and Logistics for the MCCSC. And today is Tuesday. You have your special meeting tonight you told us about. Next Tuesday, though, I'd like to plant the seed for everybody. You have the Maker Cafe. Dr. Hoswald, when I spoke to him before the holiday, said these are going like hotcakes. Tell everybody who's new to Parent University what's going to happen next Tuesday.
Well, Maker Cafe is certainly one of our banner events, and really it just definitely is something that involves our students and our staff in those areas and helps people get really interested in the curriculum that we have, especially with the STEM areas, and it gets just curiosity brewing. You know, it's just really exciting to have these programs in our schools that allow everyone to express their creativity and learn some skills and get exposed to what we have to offer as a corporation. So we're just really excited to have it.
Next Tuesday, 6 to 7, the Colab, 553 East Miller Drive, the Maker Cafe, part of Parent University. And again, you can find all of this at mccsc.edu. All right, what's the big plan financially for 2024? You got any big ticket items on your list that we need to be aware of as the calendar will eventually turn?
Well, as we enter 2024 and enter into our new budget year, certainly we are keeping abreast of our new staffing levels, right? So we're going to have to pay those increases that we are hopefully going to be approving tonight at the board meeting, the special board meeting on the session for this evening. But really excited to say that we also have some purchases coming on this next year through our bond monies for some new EV buses. We're projected to have by the end of this year just about about 25 or 28, I would say, at the end of this year. It's a little bit under 30. And we are excited also to have the infrastructure to support that. We just unveiled at a grand opening our new solar canopy, which is really one of a kind in the state and one of the few in the nation, honestly, that has provided the infrastructure to be able to charge these vehicles. So it's an entire solar canopy that covers all of those buses. They charge their software that just, you know, it's like your phone. You plug it in at the end of the night, except for it's a smart charger. It knows when to charge it. It knows when not to charge it. Same thing in the afternoon. It knows when maximum sun has come in for the amount of solar panels that are there. It knows when to offload that energy. And we're really getting to an exciting era where you just plug it in, it works, and you get that bus out for the route. And it's exciting. And that net energy savings that we have just comes back to the corporation, right? We have that project. We have some solar roofs that are coming in, and we're investing in that infrastructure to realize the savings when it comes back to us. Just by savings in gas alone, that's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And ultimately, all that savings that we incur is enabling us to be able to spend more on staffing to be able to support this corporation. So we're very excited about those initiatives moving forward.
So that's the upside of today's forecast. It might be bitterly cold, but we're charging those solar panels and charging them frequently. Excellent job, Adam. I always love getting caught up with you. Your passion shines through, buddy. Keep us between those yellow lines, and good luck at the meeting tonight. And I know I'll get caught up with you coming up after the calendar turns to 2024. So happy everything to you in advance, and have fun this evening.
Thank you, Mikey. Take care.
Adam Terwilliger. He is the Director of Finance and Logistics for the MCCSC.